What a blessing it is to be in church, and praise the Lord for what we've already experienced. I'll tell you, the music just tremendous this morning, and enjoy it all. Enjoy the congregational singing, and I enjoy the specials, and I know that the time put into preparing for those, and it was a blessing this morning. Now we looked at the Word of God. We're going to be preaching out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and beginning in verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary then for thy namesake. If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, and neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff to Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again this morning, what a blessing it's already been But God, I know that you have a message from the preaching of thy word. And you have one for each one that's here. And I pray, God, right now that you would meet with us in a very special way, and that each and everyone here would sense your presence and be open and receptive to what you have for them. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, we find a very powerful historical event in the life of the children of Israel. It's recorded for us to learn from today as born-again believers. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. The things that happened to the nation of Israel, the children of God in the Old Testament, and they're recorded for us to learn from their experiences, to learn from what happened to them. This historical event. Now, historically, we look back, and this happened just as it said. The most accurate history book is the Bible. And it records the history of Israel, the Old Testament. We see this. So this powerful historical event happened just as the Bible says it happened, and it's a powerful lesson for you and I to learn from. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat had just been rebuked by God for supporting Ahab, the wicked king of Israel. In chapter 19, in verse 2, the Bible says, "And Jehu, which was one of the seers of the prophets of God, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord.'" So this had just taken place, and he just barely escaped with his life from that battle. And now we find in chapter 20, there is an invading army coming up against Jehoshaphat. And this army would be a great army, greater than anything that Jehoshaphat would be able to handle on his own power, with his own army. That's what chapter 20 and verse 2 says. "Then came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee.'" And it was a great multitude. It was such a great multitude that it caused Jehoshaphat to be scared to death. In verse 3 it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared what was going to take place, realizing that he had no control over it, realizing that he could not be able to win this battle on his own. And if you would, then look with me down to the end of what we read this morning in verse 21 and verse 22, because this is where it led Jehoshaphat. In verse 21, verse 22, it says this, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.'" Now, this is the army of King Jehoshaphat. And as they're going to battle, he has his men singing praises unto God. And the Bible says in verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise, when they did this, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten." I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled, "From Fear to Praise." From the point of fear to the place of praise. Can I tell you that God would have all of his people to praise him, and not just to praise him, but to praise him continually. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But in the book of Hebrews, and let me just read to you, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16 says this, "By him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." What's continually mean? All the time. That means there should never be a time, no matter what's taken place, no matter what the battle, no matter what? We ought to be praising God. That we ought to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And then he says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And so as we are continuing to praise God and give thanks, we are continuing to do what God would have us to do in the midst of whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is. How did they get, how did the nation of Israel get from fear to play, to the place of praise? How did they get, and I guess if they got there, the question would be, and how do we get there? How do we get there? What do you do when you're facing something that you cannot do anything about? What do you do when you can't fix it? I don't know about you, I'm a fixer. Whatever it is, I love to have problems. I love to get I love to fix things. I was an auto body repairman. I worked on Porsches and Audis before God called me to the ministry. I went to Kansas Jack Frame School. I learned it because I see a total and I want to fix it. And God allowed me to give me the talent of being able to fix cars. I could pull frames and make that car look like it had never been in an accident before. And then God called me, and somehow, instead of fixing cars, He has used me to help fix lives, which is far more rewarding. It's a far greater occupation. And I thank God for that. But I like to fix things. But there's been times when I've realized I can't fix it. What do you do when you can't fix it? What do you do when you can't control it? What do you do when you can't change it? Can't change the test results. Can't change it. What do you do? From fear to praise. Well, let's look here. What did Jehoshaphat do? Jehoshaphat and all the Judah, when they heard this, if you go back to chapter 20 with me, in verse 2 and 3, they heard this, that a great multitude came against them, and beyond the sea of this side of Syria, and behold, they be by the in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And in verse 3 it says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Because it was something he realized, I can't fix this. We don't have the might to defeat them. And set himself to seek the Lord. And proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. As soon as they heard, they didn't wait, but they sought the Lord. Now, that's important. No matter what happens in our lives, God should always be the first thing that we think of. Seeking the Lord ought to be the very first thing, because too often people wait as a last resort. Well, if I can't fix it myself and no one else, and I'll try this and I'll try that and do everything that you think that you can do to fix it. And then you come back to the same realization, this is something I cannot fix, because there's been time that has transpired during that, things has transpired during that time. So when you do finally understand that you can't do it and you need the Lord and you turn to God, things are in worse condition than they were in the beginning. I've dealt with several situations like that as a pastor trying to help people. And I thought, if you'd only came to seek the Lord and seek the counsel of God as a very first step instead of a last resort, it would have been much easier for you to have gained the victory that God wants you to have. But you've done so much more damage by waiting, allowing Satan to work in your lives and work in your heart and work in the circumstances of your life. And when you see that there's something there that I cannot control, that I cannot fix, and there's fear that comes over you, to seek the Lord. As soon as you sense fear, seek. Why? Because God doesn't give you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So when I lose that sense of power, strength, courage, when I lose that sense of of love and start fearing that, and I lose that sense of a sound mind, and my imagination is going wild, and I can't control it. I can't bring it in. Whenever you start losing the things that God wants you to have and the things that God does give you, and you find yourself with a spirit of fear, knowing that it's not from God, and so when you start experiencing this spirit of fear, seek. Look to God. Don't put it off. Don't wait till everything has already come unglued and it's in a worse condition than what it was in the beginning. Turn to the one who can help you. Now, what does it take to turn to God? Faith. Faith led them to seek God's help. How do you know that? What they did. Because right after the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Prayer is a tool designed by God for communication. Fasting is an extension or an addition to prayer. And they reveal faith. Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. Why should I pray? Well, it reveals that you believe that there's a God and you believe that God can help you and you're taking advantage of what God's given to you as a tool to use to get a hold of Him. Prayer. God's given us this tool and it works 24/7. You'll never find yourself in a place where there's no satellite. There's no connection. As long as you have faith, you have connection to God. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4, Philippians in chapter 4, look what it says. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. It means that God is real. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what it is that you're facing, you're there and you're going through that so that you can testify that God is real and God is able and God is the one that I'm looking to. And your testimony is very important as you go through things, that God can work through your testimony and your faith to help others to understand that there is a God and there is help available if you just seek it. And so he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about it. But in everything by prayer and supplication. That supplication would include fasting. Using whatever God has supplied for you. And fasting is an extension or an addition to prayer. Supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not looking to God when you sense fear, then your faith is in question. As they prayed, they quoted God's promises. That means their faith was based on the Word of God. Amen? It's always good to have verses memorized because when you sense that fear or you're facing something and you need God's help, He's already given you His Word. Just start quoting. For all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So whatever it is you're going through, knowing that, well, God tells you He'll not put more on you than what you're able to bear. So that's a good one to learn, to quote. And then to understand that God has a purpose in whatever's taking place. That's a good verse to quote. Look what they did here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse 6. Once they turned to Him and He said, all right, everybody, we're in this together and we're going to look to God. And we're going to start praying. And we're going to start fasting. Take advantage of what God has already given you. That's where faith will lead you to take advantage of that and do what God says to do. In verse 6 he says, and said, this is how he was praying, Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Question mark. He's saying, I know you're the God in heaven. And that's why I'm coming to you. And by rehearsing this, it helps me to know that, yes, you're the God in heaven. Can I tell you, every day when I bow before God and I as I pray in my own closet, as I pray over things, I acknowledge God. I acknowledge the creator of all things, the great I am, my heavenly Father. And then I acknowledge, I said, I know you're the God the Son, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord Jesus. And then I said, and I know you're God the Holy Spirit, my Comforter, He that dwells within me. And that's how I start out, acknowledging what I know God to be. Now, do I have to remind Him of who He is? No, it's helping me to be reminded of who He is. He is God the Father. He is God the Son. And He is God the Holy Spirit. He is my Heavenly Father. He's my Savior. And He's my Comforter. Amen. That's a powerful way to come into the presence of God, because you understand who He is. And that's what Jehoshaphat's doing. Art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Did you not create all things? And if you're that powerful, can you not control all the armies of the earth? Can you not even turn the hearts of kings? Amen. Now, what's getting him to do that? Faith. Because of his faith and believing in God, he is seeking the Lord. And if you come to that place of fear and you start, if you have faith, you will seek the Lord.
Amen.
Jehoshaphat, art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? You might say, art you not the God that loved me enough to send your only begotten Son to die for me? Some ought to do the same thing, if not more powerful. Don't you love me? If you know that God loves you and He's Almighty God, would God do anything or allow anything in your life to hurt you? Not if He loves you. Now, will He discipline you if He loves you? If you're out helping King Ahab, a wicked king who despised the works of God and the ways of God, if you're out helping him, yeah, will he allow an invading army to come against you? I think he might. To get you to realize, I'm God's child and I better start doing things the way God wants me to do things. Yeah. I love verse 9. He says this, if when evil cometh upon us, and he's quoting scripture again, as a sword judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, God told them they could do this, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Did you not say that if we met the conditions that we could claim your promises? That's what he's doing. Faith will get you to do that. Faith in God, faith in knowing who God is and believing in God and understanding His promises, understanding we have these promises of God. If I meet the conditions, then I can claim the promises of God.
Right,
so, faith. When you experience fear, seek. That's what he did. He's on his way to praise, but he had to have faith, first of all. Genuine faith. After faith comes trust. Trust. Verse 12 and 13. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. It's not by my might that we're going to be delivered. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm looking to you and trusting that you can. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but, I love that, our eyes are upon thee. What is that? Trust. Trust. A person will not trust God if they do not believe that he is who he says he is. If you don't have faith enough to believe that God is God, if you don't have faith enough to believe that God can do what you cannot do, if you don't believe that God will answer your prayers, if you don't believe God can work miracles, if you don't believe God, you'll not trust in him. It's hard to trust someone that has betrayed your trust. And many people, if not all of us, can look back to a time that we were hurt because I trusted somebody and then found out that they betrayed my trust. They lied to me. How can you believe somebody that has betrayed your trust and lied to you? That's a question many times in marriage counseling I run over. I have to deal with this situation. How can you? Well, you have to earn that trust back. And it's hard and it takes time. If you have lied, if you have betrayed somebody's trust, you don't deserve their trust any longer. You betrayed it. But you can have it restored over time as long as they see you and your faithfulness and your trust. Can I tell you that's why the Bible says that God cannot lie? God has never and will never betray your trust. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. When you put your faith and trust in God's word and what God says, you can count on it because you're putting it in a God who cannot and will not lie to you. If you have faith to believe, then you can trust. Trusting, putting yourself in his care. In any situation. Lord, I'm turning it over to you. I can't fix it. I can't control it. I can't change it. And I'm looking to you by faith. I'm putting it in your hands. Because I trust you. That's powerful stuff. And we find that's exactly what we find that Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah did. And now look what it says in verse 13. And all of Judah, not just Jehoshaphat, but all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. We're in your hands. My family's in your hands. My wife, my relationship with her, my relationship with my children, this family, we believe in you. And so as we believe in you, we are putting our trust in you. Psalms chapter 9. Write it down if you want. Let me read it to you. Psalms chapter 9, verse 9 says this. Let me read it to you. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name, believe in him. You know him. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Need to replace fear with trust. Trust comes by way of faith. So we find here, they first of all had faith. Then they had trust. And the third thing here is we find Jehoshaphat submitted to doing what God told him to do. Do it God's way. Look at chapter 20, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 says this, tomorrow, God says, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Ziz. Now realize, this is a massive army. This is something that they would be fearful of, even getting close to them. Instead of running, God says, no, I don't want you to run. I want you to go where they're at. I want you to go face them. Sometimes one of the most important things that we do is not run from our fears, but we deal with our fears. We face our fears. Ye shall not need to fight. It's not by your might that you're going to win this battle. Set yourselves, amen, focus on what I'm telling you to do. Stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. You have faith, you put your trust, and now you're submitting to do what I tell you to do. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. They needed to go, but being willing to fight. They needed to go. They need to be willing to do whatever. They need to be willing to fight, but they would not need to fight. The fruit of trust is submission. The fruit of trust. Do you have trust? Then you will submit to doing what God says. If you want to move from the place of fear to the place of praise, it's going to take, first of all, your belief in God that He is. Have faith in God. If you have faith in God, then you will present yourself and trust in Him. And if you genuinely trust in Him, then it's naturally just do what He tells you to do because your trust is in Him. The fruit of trust is submission. And once they submitted, they found themselves at the place of praise. Because it's how God works. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, submitting to Him. Your God, not I'm not God, your God. I'm submitting to not my plan, but your plan. And when they did that, they found themselves in a state of worship. That's worshiping God. That's bowing down before Him. That's acknowledging Him as being Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Once they submitted, they found themselves in a place of worship. When they found themselves in a place of worship, praise sprung out of it. Which led down to verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambush. God started working. Because that's where He wants people to be. God wants His children to be at that place of praising Him. God surrounds Himself in an environment of praise. You want God? You want the hand of God to work in your life? You want God to fix what you can't fix? You want God to intervene where you need some intervention? Get to the place of praise. Not just phony praise. This is God's plan for praise. Faith, trust, submission. And if that's what's taking place in your life, you'll find it easy to praise. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. and they were smitten. Their total submission to God led them to praise, and genuine praise leads to spiritual victory, no matter what the physical outcome. And can I tell you, the spiritual victory is what you have need of, because that's what brings a spirit of power, courage, strength, love, love and joy, and a sound mind. Peace to help you no matter what the outcome, no matter what the physical outcome. Praise. From fear to praise. It's how they did it. It's what God has recorded to help us to know. It's how we need to do it. Are you there? Do you want to get there? Follow God's instructions. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. From fear to praise. A formula that God has given that all of us need to follow after. First of all, do you believe God? Do you believe in God? Have you received Him as your own personal Lord and Savior? The Bible says the devils themselves believe there is a God. But have you received Him as your own personal Lord and Savior? Would you receive Him this morning? You believe in God, then receive salvation. Come to this altar. Let somebody take a Bible and show you what a person must do based on what God says in order to have eternal life. You can have that. You can leave here with the assurance of everlasting eternal life. Faith leads to trust. Have you just put yourself out there and said, Lord, here we are. My marriage is yours. My family is yours. My life is yours. I'll trust in you. When you get to the place of trust, genuine trust will lead to submission to whatever it is that God would have you to do. And when you do that, you'll find yourself in the midst of the storm, praising God. Praising God. Because of who He is, He's worthy. He's definitely worthy. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word, and I pray that You would help us all now to make the application. If there's someone here that does not know You as Savior, that today would be the day they'd be saved. Whatever the need, I pray that they would yield to whatever Your will is for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.